Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
That's a good way to start the show. Steve laughing. Pastor Steve is here in the house, in the studio, and we actually are calling it a new studio. It used to be NoCo Radio. Now it's things that go bump in the night, Co Radio.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
The new plush things that go bump
in the church
studio with the deluxe associate person chair and the wonderful microphone.
Yeah, but the microphone is good. Remember, Phil Johnson said those are good microphones.
Did he?
If anybody knows a good microphone, I think, grace to you, Phil Johnson would.
I'm impressed.
Steve, today I want to talk to you about one of my favorite books of all time, you know, this...
Things That Go Bump in the Church.
No. So funny, you know, you write a book 3 years ago and
It's the best book I've ever read.
No. It's number 9 billionth on the Amazon bestseller right now.
But it's climbing
like
a snail.
A Jesus Calling, Sarah Young. Do you know much about the book? Is it around here? Do you see people reading it here?
Well, you know what? I just know it's the sequel to London Calling.
Well, see, then that's why I knew I liked it. London Calling. I went to a concert once in a small little, I think it was a small little pub, and Joe Strummer was playing with the Pogues, and he ran across the table that I was sitting at singing London Calling. I thought that was pretty good.
Oh, those were the days.
So now you've got Joey Ramone's dead, Joe Strummer's dead, long time passing.
All the great ones.
Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit today about Jesus Calling. It has sold so many books, and it's quite amazing because it's basically a New Age book. And how do New Age channeling books sell in evangelical Christianity bookstores easily?
Wait a minute. Is this the prayer circle thing? Is this... Or is this something else?
No, this is God is specially talking through Sarah, and she's going to write it down.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's fascinating to me because I've heard that story before. Let's see. Muhammad, Joseph Smith,
Did God really say? So, Steve, before we get into the show, Kim and I were going to Target the other day, and I said, you know, I have to do my once-a-year drive over to, through, up to the local bookstore.
Morningstar?
Yeah, Morningstar in Leominster.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to get a lay of the land.
Now, you're not going to say anything negative, are you? Last time I got blasted when you said something negative.
I didn't know that. Yeah. How'd you get blasted?
Well, they called the church up and, you know, like to talk to somebody about something that was said on No Compromise Radio. I said, sure, go ahead, you know, and that I had to hold the phone away from my ear, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, I think we replayed that show not that long ago.
In Christian Love, they were blasting me.
Yes. Yeah. So I went there, and of course, I do not I want people to make a living. I want if you have a business, you can make money. But I don't want you to call your business a ministry if it's not a ministry. And so I said to myself when I walked in, it was Monday, I was tired, I was calm, I'm not going to fight, I'm not going to argue, I'm not going to get pulled into any debates or anything like that. I just want to shop, see some knickknacks, see some Christian, you know, tchotchkes.
Yeah, and artifacts.
Yeah.
And what do you call it when they give you time out of purgatory? What is that?
That is some kind of penance or something. Works of supererogation.
Yeah, but I mean the objects themselves, what are they called? It doesn't matter.
Well, icons?
Yeah, that's fine. You know, yeah.
Relics.
Yeah, that's the best
one. And so I was very happy. Let me give you the plus side versus the minus side. And the reason why we're doing this is because I saw lots of these Sarah Young books there. Because you've got Sarah Young Study Bible, Sarah Young Devotional.
Sarah Young Study Bible? Yeah. Really?
Well, not quite, but almost. All the other things that publishers know how to do to market the living daylights out of it.
Yes.
So they had David Wells books, John MacArthur books.
Great.
I do have to say, though, that over and above the MacArthur section, in overstock was all the Joyce Meyer books.
Mm.
Yeah. But anyway, I saw Michael Horton books.
Excellent.
I saw, what else did I see that I thought was really good? A Martin Lloyd-Jones book.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And they had a bunch of commentaries and things like that, and I enjoyed that. And so it was kind of a rainy day, you know, on Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And so I went back to I passed the Catholic section where they have rosaries and books about rosaries.
That's how you know it's a ministry right there.
See?
That's a clue.
T.D. Jakes books and stuff.
Oh,
there's
nice.
A large charismatic section that's in the back.
Now, I wouldn't mind it so much if it said snake oil, you know, above it, and that'd be fine.
Right. Totally with you. And again, I'm not going to cause any fuss. I'm just going to lay low. I'm not going to say a bunch of stuff. Kim and I were looking. Again, we're looking for knickknacks, tchotskis, you know, Christian swag, that kind of stuff. So a guy came up to me, and he was super nice, and he said, could I help you find anything? I said, no, sir, I'm just looking, but thank you very much.
Can I help you find anything that will condemn your soul to perdition?
So came back around again, and I was walking past two buckets that were on the floor catching
water.
This water from the ceiling because it's, I mean, literally, the forecast said 3 to 4 inches of rain over the weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it rained, but it was a lot.
Yeah.
And so, Steve, I couldn't help myself. I said to the young man,
"Oops!"
I said, boy, it looks like we got some rain dripping. I said, I know the charismatics are into signs. I said, is it a sign that the raindrops are falling in the charismatic section and not near Michael Horton or David Wells? And he just looked at me. And then he said, you know what? He said, what we believe at this store is we sell stuff based on supernatural. If it's supernatural, we'll sell it. So I just began to listen, again, smile. I just didn't want to cause a fuss. And then he said, I said, you know, T.D. Jakes doesn't believe in the Trinity. He's not a Christian, but I guess he believes in the supernatural. And then he opened up and he said, do you know, sometimes I really go out on a limb. Now, this is a true story, Steve.
Out on a limb.
I go out on a limb, and when people are in the charismatic section, I tell them, do you know, you should probably read this book. This would be good. And I give them, I know it's kind of, he makes overgeneralizations, and I know he sometimes goes to the extreme, but you should read Strange Fire by John MacArthur.
Oh!
I'm just listening. And I said, well, what church do you go to? He said, I go to an AOG church, and I've just been always, you know, fascinated by all this stuff and people's emphasis on charismatic gifts. And so we struck up a conversation, and it was very pleasant. And I was glad that he was trying to steer people. He said, if they want the bad books, I have to let them buy them. But if I can nicely get them to buy some good books, I try to.
See, I thought you were going to say when he said, "We'll if it's supernatural, we'll sell it." And then you saw the, you know, the full collection of the Outer Limits DVDs, you know, and similar. It's supernatural.
He said, well, we will sell Catholic books. This is according to the owners. I guess the male owner died and now the female owner is in charge. But we won't sell any Catholic relics. He said, this is the time of year where you get a lot of people coming in to buy the Joseph statues that people put upside down at the front of their yard. So they're trying to sell the house. We won't sell those. So I guess businesses have lines that they won't cross.
Well, that's good to know. All right. So Sarah Young.
So here's the book description of Jesus Calling on Amazon. Right, this is the promotion of the book.
Okay.
Wouldn't you like that?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Calling is a devotional filled with uniquely inspired, no pun intended, treasures from heaven for every day of the year. After many years of writing in her prayer journal, missionary Sarah Young decided to listen to God with pen in hand. You should see Steve's face.
And where was she a missionary?
Now, just a second. Let me just finish
this. Okay, go ahead.
Writing down whatever she believed Jesus was saying to her. It was awkward at first, but gradually her journaling changed from monologue to dialogue. She knew her writings were not as inspired as Scripture is, but her journaling helped her grow closer to God.
Wednesday. Sarah, have you trimmed your nails? I heard a voice very clearly telling
personalized messages from the second person of the Trinity to her. What does that sound like to you?
Well, again, I mean, this just sounds like it sounds like a bunch of nonsense. You know, it sounds like either another gospel, another scripture, adding to the book, you know, adding to Revelation. It sounds like everything that the Bible condemns is what it sounds like.
Yes, but Steve, Revelation chapter 22 about not adding to the book because they'll add the plagues that are here.
Only applies to Revelation. Yeah. I've never heard that before because there's one in the Old Testament too, where it's in Leviticus or whatever, you know, and if you add to that, well, okay. Here's the thing. Let me just speak plainly. If everybody who thinks that they heard from God had their notes written down and compiled, we would have a massive, massive library of things that God allegedly said that would be absolutely incoherent, internally conflicting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, we would not have scripture. We would not have anything inspired. We'd have the meanderings of somebody who thought they heard from God.
Steve, talking about Sarah Young's Jesus Calling book, and we're going to get into this show and then the next Tuesday as well. What if I was hearing Truman talk about this or Todd Pruitt or somebody. What if I said Jesus is talking to me and I wrote down these things, but the feel and the flavor and the nuance sounded like it was a wrestler, as we say in Nebraska, a wrestler, as a macho Machiavellian martial arts instructor, you would think I was crazy. But here we have these words from Jesus that sound like they're words written by a young lady who's into too much romance novels, maybe Amish romance novels.
Really?
So she's listening to herself is what she's listening to.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, that inner still voice that you hear, that's you. I don't know what to tell you, you know?
Steve, if people want to listen to God in prayer outside the Bible, what would you tell them? What would be your candid advice?
Stop. Well, I mean, again, what do we hear when we're thinking? You know, why would we think that the voice inside of our head suddenly changed from us to God? What is that switch?
Stephen, what I don't get is if you've got inspired scripture and she doesn't realize her words are that, well, then what are they? This is like a subcategory. These are the apocryphal things.
They're deuterocanonical.
See, that's where I was going. You took the words right out of my mouth. Now, it'd be probably a fair question to ask, how was she converted? Because I think that will play into our analysis. And this is on the hardcover edition of her book.
Her testimony.
Describing her conversion. Mm-hmm. One night I found myself leaving the warmth of our cozy chalet to walk alone in the snowy mountains.
Mm.
I went into a deeply wooded area, mm-hmm. feeling vulnerable and awed by cold, moonlit beauty. Sounds like creative writing class to me.
Well, I'm already feeling the oppression of her sin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Uh-huh. The air was crisp and dry, piercing to inhale.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, I felt as if a warm mist enveloped me.
That's a conviction of sin.
I became aware of a lovely presence. Capital P.
Yeah. She and realizes her helplessness.
And my involuntary response was to whisper, "Sweet Jesus."
Okay.
Is that a whisper or a curse word?
She's in visualizing the cross and the mm-hmm. Lord's sacrifice on her behalf.
Yeah, that's right. See, I'm glad I have Pastor Steve, a.k.a. the interlinear.
Well, you know what? I'm getting a word from Sarah.
Okay, good. Sarah, smile. Here, we're going to keep going. This utterance was totally uncharacteristic of me.
Mm.
And I was shocked to hear myself speaking so tenderly to Jesus.
I receive your death on my behalf. I believe that the Father raised you from the dead and that you died for my sins. Thank you.
As I pondered this brief communication, I realized it was the response of a converted heart. At that moment, I knew I belonged to him.
Okay, that really is a bad romance novel. I mean, that is
seriously. And so, I don't know, Steve, but if you describe to me your conversion with words like warm mists.
I have to tell you, that could be Dracula that she – I mean, mm-hmm. It could be anything.
Bram Stoker's account of the conversion of people, and then his shadow overcame me. Two piercing pangs, not in my heart, but in my jugular. The warm blood oozed from my carotid.
I
mean,
there is nothing – I don't want to be – well, yes, I do. I don't want to be an uber stickler. But if there's no mention of sin, conviction, you know, understanding for once, you know, what Christ's life, death, burial, resurrection, all that meant – Then how is that a conversion?
Steve, you're obviously coming to this from a very Western German mindset where you don't understand the Hebrew flavor of the flowery pictures of warm mist. That's actually a metaphor in the Hebrew language for repentance.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah's dad.
Is this feeling-oriented, the presence of Jesus? Obviously, and so from the get-go, would you ever recommend a book to someone who doesn't even understand conversion? Answer, yes, if it's Stephen Ambrose and I'd like to learn about D-Day.
Yeah, or I mean any number of authors that we want to learn about a particular subject or be entertained on a particular subject. But in terms of spirituality, no.
Steve, page number X, or 10 in the introduction. She talks about spiritual warfare, so that's going to help us as we understand this heart-to-heart with God.
Well, it's also going to give us a little insight into her biblical depth, I think.
Okay. One morning as I prayed, I visualized God protecting each of us.
Oh, how lovely.
I pictured first our daughter, then our son, and then Steve, that must be her husband. Maybe it's Steve Cooley, Tuesday Guy, encircled by God's protective presence, which looked like a golden light. When I prayed for myself, I was suddenly enveloped in brilliant light and profound peace.
Why isn't it in darkness and unable to breathe? And
it's like whenever you watch people and they're getting their palms read or their fortune told, or we went to this Indian festival once. I don't mean by Sri Lanka. I mean American Indian. And they're getting their rawhide red or something. I don't know what it was with beads. They'll always say to them, in your past life, you were a Nubian princess. And you're like, well, why in your past life weren't you like a street urchin begging for money someplace, unemployed?
Or
begging for alms.
Or the traitor running from battle, you know, who got shot in the back or, you know. You were the coward who wouldn't defend his family and...
Page X11, XII, I knew that God communicated with me through the Bible, but I yearn for more. Now, Steve, that settles it right there. Whenever I hear about people who realize that God's word is not sufficient, functionally denying sola scriptura, functionally saying, God, thanks a lot, but I want more than that. That's like sitting down, hearing a sermon from Jesus, and then you're saying, sorry, I was in the congregation. What you said wasn't enough. I expect you to get out of the pulpit, come up to my pew, and whisper some sweet nothings into my ear so I can receive a personal revelation. This individuality, no wonder she's tossed around to and fro like these waves in Ephesians chapter 4, because she doesn't get it at the get-go.
And I'm sure somebody will say, maybe even Sarah will, writes and say, you just don't understand because you don't understand my experience. You haven't experienced what I've experienced, to which I can only say, you know, you talk a lot about light and gold, you know, illumination or whatever. And you know what? All I can say is Satan appears as an angel of light, and you have absolutely, if it doesn't line up with scripture and nothing you've read so far lines up with scripture, then the only profundity is that you've been so duped and able to dupe so many other people. That's fairly profound.
I believe, if memory serves me, Steve, that Jesus Calling has sold about 10 million copies in the last 10 years. It sold more copies than Stephen King books recently, more copies than 50 Shades of Grey. It is a runaway bestseller, and it is a desire that people have for intimacy with God. I'll say that's a good thing. But it is a romantic, intimacy, even eroticized to some degree, not as bad as Voskamp, but we'll do that another show. And once you say, I want more than what God has given, you are in the most dangerous of all territories. I'm not satisfied with revealed scripture. It talks about a lack of contentment in the heart of people, and this is dangerous. This isn't just funny, it's dangerous.
You know what? I have a word. I have a word, Mike, for people who want more than God has revealed. And here's my word: wait till heaven. Because there you will get more of God. You will experience more of God than you are right now. But until then.
So let's think theologically for a minute, Steve. Can you be more justified than you are?
No.
Can you be loved by God more than you are?
Let me
in
think.
Christ?
No. Yeah.
Can you have a deeper union with Christ than you already are? Are you united with Christ? Can there be a deeper union? Can be plunged more headlong?
No. I can have a better sense of it, right?
Understanding.
Yes.
Comprehension.
Yes.
But that doesn't come through Jesus' calling. That comes through Scriptures. It is, I don't know if she's satanic or not, but it is a satanic ploy. It is an earthly ploy, a worldly ploy to get people's minds off of Scriptures and onto something else, and it could even be good things. She's not saying, you know, that this Jesus is telling everybody to give her give your money to her and all that, although you do
yet.
Through the book. Yeah.
I mean, she's not saying that.
But when you
yet.
Say get your mind off of Scripture, my suggestion is, after you're done listening to the show, read Psalm 19, or if you have some extra time, Psalm 119, and you're going to hear the psalmist talk about how wonderful the Word of God is. And when I look at Psalm 139, and it says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. He's not talking about these.
Jesus calling.
No, he's talking about the Scriptures. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they're more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you. But it's not enough, God. It's not enough, so I have to go to this personalized, individualized. It's perfect for society. I want to talk back to you on my Facebook account. I want to make a little comment to the world, the Wall Street Journal, and respond. I want interaction. I want dialogue. Monologues won't do.
I mean, really, if she were 13, 14, 15 years old, I could accept this and just go, well, she's not saved yet, but, you know, maybe she'll grow out of this. But I'm going to guess probably based on what you've said so far, that she's a little bit older than that. And
she is, and I think she's ill. She doesn't speak much and all that. So I don't, you know, those kind of things, I don't want to wish ill on anyone. I just want this book to stop. Psalm 138, verse 2. For you, God, have exalted above all things your name and your word. That's amazing to me. The Word of God. Isn't Jesus the Word becoming flesh? I just want more Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus? He's seated with the apostles. We're reading about this when he was on the earth, and he talks to them, and he says, by the way, guys, I told the parable, and it was unable to be understood by people there, but I'm going to tell you what it means. And then Peter says, sorry, that's not good enough. I don't feel this. I want you to talk to me in particular, make the rounds. It just bugs me.
Well, and it doesn't even make sense. Let me just ask you this. Why would anybody want to read this? In other words, what would be the not just the scriptural basis, but when you think about it, if she's saying, well, it's not really scripture, it's not really the canon of scripture, it's not really fully inspired, but, you know, this is just what I think. Well, who's she? Who is she? Why is she somebody that we should believe is channeling God?
Well, it's at least in first person when Jesus gives his devotion. So here's one on June 7th, Steve. I am all around you like a cocoon of light. My presence with you is a promise.
Cocoon of light. I mean, this could be Jim Morrison. I mean,
that one album that's got him doing all the Indian
yes,
stuff. That
yes.
is so true. What's the name of that album?
I don't even remember. But this is just, I mean, this is like whacked out LSD riddled nonsense. I'm sorry.
Many things can block this awareness, but the major culprit is worry. My children tend to accept worry as an inescapable fact of life. However, worry is a form of unbelief. It is anathema to me. well, this book is anathema to me. And what we don't want you to do is say, it's helped me, therefore it's good, because pragmatism doesn't overrule biblical fidelity.
Well, the Bible does say, be anxious for nothing, but you don't need Sarah Young to reinforce that for you. The truth is the truth, and this book by Sarah Young is not the truth.
And we have a new title for Pastor Steve's book, Cocoon of Light.
That's deep. NoCompromiseRadio.com.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbccchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.